Blog Talk Radio.
Priestess and the Cauldron, a podcast featuring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, two out-of-the-broom-closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each show, Elvira and Phoenix will help you create rituals, make spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Phoenix, take it away.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Yes.
I feel like Julia Child.
Well, it's Friday, and we're about to talk about witchcraft again.
No kidding. It's just one of those things. You can't get rid of us, right?
Nope.
Well, I think I want to make a statement here, and I'm gonna, I think that because we have been on the air now almost, what, we've been there 2 years, right?
Three.
It has been brought to our attention, and we are going to upgrade our sound system because we feel that now that we've made it past our, you know, three-year-old mark, and we kind of know what we're doing on other things, that we are now going to get a better sound system so that those that have dropped off can come back, or those that are here can hear better.
Hear better, yeah, and we have a... This is our 96th episode.
Wow.
So hopefully by our 100th episode, we're all sorted.
Yes. That is our goal for our 100th anniversary. Wow.
Yeah.
So, but we were still talking about it when we were cut off for the intro, and I really was jacked about it because I think both of us have struggled with some of what's been going on. And actually, I have to tell you, I was a guest on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork show, and they had horrible, horrible problems with their sound and on landlines and portables and all kinds of stuff. So it may also be something to do with the way Blog Talk's setup is for, you know, if it's more than one person's show having a problem.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah, that was what I wanted to share, which we didn't have time to share, but there you are.
Yeah. Nice.
Yes. So, obviously, what was our weeks like? What was our weeks? I feel like it's weeks. What was our week like? What was your week like?
Well, let's see. Well, it's been a good week, Elvira. I had a candle magic class last night at the shop, and it was a lot of fun. It's one of my favorite little workshops. It's, you know, just a couple hours, and I talk about you know, candle magic, which is actually one of the shows we have coming up on our show. But I tell you, a little bit of history and why candles are magical and shit. And then we do, we dress and bless glass encased candles. And it's just a lot of fun, and it's, you know, fun and easy and quick. And I'm getting ready to go to a trade show this weekend. So I'm kind of, it's been busy and in the rush to go out of town. So I feel I feel busy, but I feel like it's a manageable amount of busy. Unlike a couple of weeks ago where it felt like an unmanageable amount of busy. But yeah, mostly good. Getting ready to have a little road trip. Yeah.
Wow.
How are you doing, Elvira?
Well, it's been a really, really busy week. From last Friday through now, I have had literally... I have worked every day in the profession of either a reader or, as I found out, as a guest speaker on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork show on Sunday. So I've been feeling like there is no space for me. It's like I'm out. I'm doing. I'm going. I'm, you know, whatever you do. And even the Thursday that I normally have off, I was busy doing errands, and then I have been religiously taking my Christmas stuff down. I have gotten everything from the outside down and packed as I did from the inside, and the last thing is my tree and all of its decorations. So
yeah,
I still feel it's kind of like, okay, we're dragging this out to the last day of what? January. But I am looking forward to this Sunday where I will be doing nothing but hanging with my family. That'll be nice. I mean, really nice. And obviously, you know, had some really interesting clients and talks with people. So it's been active, and I think ready for, you know, this show and being that. So I'm really excited. So there you are.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yes. So, obviously, our topic for today is Bridget.
Yes, that's right. And what's funny is I could have sworn we'd done an episode about the goddess Bridget before. In fact, we talked about the Kaliak a couple weeks ago, and I mentioned on that show, well, we've done an episode about Bridget if you want to hear about, you know, Kaliak's vice versa energy. And then I went through our episodes and we did not have a Bridget episode. It's just cracking me up, like I'm having deja vu.
Yeah, well, and we've talked a lot about her as part of different things, both the Trinity, you know, the concept of I think Persephone and Demeter, and there were different times I know we have mentioned her. So it may feel very familiar.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And next week we'll be airing our Imbolc episode, which we talk a lot about the goddess Bridget and how she's related to Imbolc. So you're going to get a lot of Bridget from us in the next few weeks. But she's amazing, and it's worth hearing a lot about Bridget.
And it isn't because you're also partial to her, is it?
Well, a little, maybe.
A little. Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Because I know she's your patron, one of your patron goddesses and deities you work with, I was like, well, she's going to have, and she's probably done it in her goddess, you know, workshop thing, anything classes. So I'm like, well, I know that I'll add to it occasionally because you're going to have a lot more of that background. But you never know. I might shock you with something you didn't know, which would be nice.
Oh, no doubt you will.
So,
yeah.
But, and then, as far as I am looking at, you know, we've got a couple of shows after that. We'll talk at the end of this show what the next few shows are like so we get people up to speed. But why don't we just jump into Bridget?
Yeah, okay. Well, Bridget is, modern witches and pagans refer to her as a Celtic goddess, but I feel like it's a little bit more complicated, maybe is the right word. She's Briton, she's Brythonic, there's another word that my brain is not going to grab right now, but it'll come to me in a minute. And she's Irish. She's all over the place. And I think the most interesting thing, well, there's many interesting things, but one of the interesting things about Bridget is when Christianity got to Ireland, because you know the UK and those other Celtic lands were Christianized before Ireland.
Right.
And so that's why many people think of her as an Irish goddess, because she was in Ireland and worshipped in Ireland longer than some of these other lands that had been Christianized. And in up until 450 AD, she was still a goddess. And then supposedly that's when Saint Bridget was born. But the basic story there is she was so beloved as a goddess. She was so worshipped and revered and so connected to the land. You couldn't actually take Bridget out of the land. She is part of the land that the church decided to make her a saint. So Saint Bridget is still a very big deal in Catholic Ireland. And there's all these different stories about the miracles that Saint Bridget did. And some of them overlap stories related to the goddess Bridget, although a lot of the goddess Bridget stories have been lost. But it's pretty interesting. You know, she's one of those stories of a goddess who couldn't be set aside. And so the church had to shift their gears instead of forcing the people to shift, you know.
Yes, and it seems very poignant because all in all, there are a few throughout, you know, the different Western European pantheons. There are certain ones that just aren't going to be eradicated and moved into subservience. So, I mean, St. Bridget definitely is one of those. When I started reading, I'm like, oh my, she didn't let anything go past, you know, her in terms of giving up her power. Enter.
Right.
So, yeah. And
right.
As far as, you know, I know she's part of a trinity, so, you know,
right.
You've got that. So why don't you throw that one out?
She's a triple goddess, but it's not the, like, when sometimes when people hear the word triple goddess, you might think, oh, the Maiden Mother Crone, and that's not this. And there is also many places in Irish myth and lore where there's a triple face goddess or three sisters or three different faces of similar energy or entity. And what is important to know is what we believe anyway. You have to take it all with a grain of salt because we don't actually know how they were practicing before the written word, before they started to write down all the stories. But the Celtic system is a threefold system. Often in modern paganism, we work with the elements as a fourfold of earth, air, fire, and water. In the Celtic system, it's a threefold. It's land, sea, and sky. And so you see this triplicate nature. Many of the Irish, I can't remember what they're called, but like the truth, nature, beauty.
Right.
You know, there's always rhymes and triplicates or stories and triplicates or goddesses and triplicate. And so this is a pattern that repeats itself, but she's connected to the land, the sea, and the sky in her three faces. And often people think of Bridget the blacksmith as being a fire goddess. And yes, that is true, but that's actually her connection to land. Being about a blacksmith is about your connection to land. You're transforming iron. You're shaping iron. You're shaping something of the land. And Bridget of the sea is the midwife, the healer, connected to water, obviously. And Bridget of the sky is the poet, the one who's gifted with words. And those three forces are the makeup of the landscape, which, again, you see her connected to the landscape over and over again. Bridget, Bridie, Breed, Brigantia, Brigida, like her, there's many versions of her name. And often it's like the creek or the hill or the riverbed or the landscape or the tree or the forest have those names. She is the land. You can't separate her from that. So, you know, she's a big goddess who kind of gets distilled down to these three faces, who gets distilled down to this one saint.
Well, I think it's also because you look at what, I mean, the indigenous people of the Isles do the energies of the land, sky and, you know, the water. They knew those energies, and they are big energies. And when you're trying to deal with what the Christian religion did, was it put it down into smaller increments and more manageable. And then, of course, because it was female and not male, and because of all the different things, they were minimizing everything, but they couldn't, because it was literally cellular to the land, they couldn't take it completely away. And, I mean, they even, the Irish even were very adamant that she be equated to Mary, mother of Jesus. I mean, they weren't going to let her go any farther below than that. And I was like, amen for that one. You know, so... big. She's big. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And, we had the show about the Kaliyak a couple of weeks ago, and she holds, you know, we have this, like I said, we have this landscape. She is the land. And then we have this triplicate nature. And then we have this singular saint. But she also holds the duality in Scotland and Ireland. You find these stories where she shares the year with the Kaliyak, where she's the growing months, the warmer months, the summer, the spring, and the Kaliyak is the winter, and that they exchange a cloak or they exchange some sort of energetic bond when we transition from the winter into the summer, and that it was a twofold season. There's the dark half and the light half. And some of that is contested. Everything we talk about is contested. We don't know how any of this actually worked. All of it is on assumption and what seems cool or what might be based on what the monks wrote down. So take it all with a grain of salt. But it's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And we're coming upon her big day, where there would have been the switch from the Kaliyak to Brigid. Her reign of power, so to speak, with Imbolc, which is next week, the 1st or the 2nd of February, depending on your tradition, which is also right around Groundhog's Day, and that's not by mistake.
Yeah, they try to get it to a little groundhog and male, a male groundhog, not even a female groundhog. I mean, that's rude. I read that, I mean, I hadn't really thought about it because I was so immersed in, you know, all the goddessy stuff. And then one of my resources pointed that out, and all I could think of was that, wait a minute. First, we're going with a little animal. So she's gone from a big goddess to a little animal, which is not, you know, a problem really. But then they made it male. It's like, excuse me? That kind of thing. And I know that, you know, they've called her the three blessed ladies of Britain and the three mothers, and, you know, they definitely have an understanding of her three aspects. And as again, we're talking what you laid down was the way that the heaven, which is, you know, the air and the earth and the sea or the water are. So I was, you know, I was going, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, the triad in its own way has, again, not the age factor, because in actuality the duality is the only thing they're seeing as an age factor. You either have the youth or the old age. You don't have anything in between.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that's because they only lived to a certain level, and so youth kind of didn't have middle-aged, or, you know, motherhood happened real early, and then you kind of went from motherhood to old age, so they didn't give you much stuff, any time
there. We didn't live as long.
Anything else that, you know, you want to, like, give forth? Because I know there's things about the priestess in Kildare. I thought that was interesting.
Oh, yeah, go on, say more.
Go on. Well, you know, because that was the stronghold, that was like the center, the most sacred of her shrines and temples, and it was, you know, 19 priestesses that were part of representing the 19-year cycle of the Celtic Great Year, And so it was a 19 years, and the 20th year was when Bridget tended the fire, because it was a, it was a sacred fire that never went out, and they had these priestesses tend it. And they weren't, you know, like very similar to Vesta and the Vestal Virgins, but they weren't virgins. They consorted with men, and so it was more than just, you know, taking care of the fire, the hearth. And one of the things I found interesting, and now I'm trying to find my notes, because, of course, you know, you take these notes and you keep going along and you're going, where the heck is the last piece that you wanted to talk about? Because they wound up literally in the, I'm trying to think here, about 1000 BC, one of the archbishops of Ireland put the fire out. He said, this is not okay, it's pagan.
Right.
And
right.
Then, so it stayed out in that particular, because they, what they did is they had made the shrine into a church, so of course they had nuns and, you know, that kind of a thing. And in 1993, they relit the fire and have tended it since. So that one impressed me.
And it's actually, you can become a Bridget fire tender anywhere in the world. There are groups that tend Bridget's flame, and you sign up for a shift, for one shift every 19 days, like you said. And depending on the organization, you either have them send you a candle that's been lit from the flame, or, you know, you meet with another priestess who tends the flame, and they give you a candle that's been lit from their flame, because it's believed any candle that's been lit from the flame can then light other candles and spread that Bridget energy, you know. For maybe a year, maybe less than a year, I was a flame keeper for Bridget's flame, and it's quite a cool process, you know. You kind of connect to something bigger than yourself, and it's not just the goddess, but it's part of a community of people who are holding that energy. It's lovely. And I do have a candle that was lit in Kildare. I did not light it there myself. It was gifted to me, but it's one of my more precious altar items. You know, I have a permanent Bridget altar in my house. And that's where it lives, but it's, you know, it's just a simple candle. It's just a candle, but it's, you know,
right,
connected to Bridget. It's her candle.
And that's really, it awestruck me. And I, again, when you tell me that, I'm like, oh my God, that's so great. That's so great. You know, that's the case. the fact that she has such a plethora, I love that word, plethora, of things that she I don't want to say ruled over, but it is part of her, what is sacred to her is, I mean, from poetry and art and crafts and smithcraft, agriculture, bards, invention, you know, good harvest, childbirth, traditions,
pretty much everything.
Sovereignty. I mean, it's just, I started, you know, compiling a list and I'm going, oh my gosh, you know, it's like a long list. So, and
one of the older tales of Bridget from Ireland, and the book is Ma Bo Tang. I don't know. I apologize. I hate when I have to pronounce Gaelic or Irish things, because I know I'm just going to destroy the word. But she was the first person to ever keen or moan or cry out after a death, which is, you know, it's a strange thing for this goddess to be associated with. But, you know, in Ireland, there was the different invasions of the land, and different deities came with those invasions, just like we see in virtually every other pantheon of gods everywhere on the planet. She was from one of the groups, and her husband was from a different group, and they were married in order to bring peace to the tribes. And then her son was born. And even though they were trying to be peaceful and work together, and they had, you know, married into each other's tribes to try and hold that peace, there was still distrust and issues, and her son was pitted against the other tribe and was asked to spy and was asked to bring back information. And then he was tasked with killing Govanin, which is the Welsh pronunciation of the Irish god. Sorry, again, pronunciation I suck at. But they found out that this is what he was going to do. And the blacksmith killed him first. And when Bridget witnessed this happening, and she cried out, she keened, she wailed. And if you're familiar with anything related to Ireland and death, it's still a practice to keen. And priestesses would be hired to keen and moan and wail at a funeral and to follow the procession of the dead body. And they were considered doing the work of Bridget. And I've always found it very interesting, like, why that? Why is that the one thing, like, the one story that's not related to Christianity is that one? It's very interesting.
Yeah, it is. And it's funny because that was one of the things I was noting, and it was over her, you know, the loss of a beloved son. But here's the other one, whistling. They attribute that to her, creating whistling, because she wanted to call to her friends and to the people, and so she whistled.
Right.
I mean, didn't we know how to
whistle people? Maybe that's a sky correlation, right? The air, using air in a different way of communicating. And it's just, you know, and I guess death and the grieving process, that is all of the elements, you know, land, sea, and sky, the body being the land, our tears and sadness being the sea, and the wailing and keening being the sky. I don't know.
But if you can think of it, it seems like it's a point of reference that's like the lineage of how things happen. It's not foreign thinking. You just kind of move from one to the other to the other. And I mean, I know we tend to be more intellectual when we're talking about these things and when we're discussing them. But if you dissect it, that would make perfect sense, you know, in terms of that. So it's interesting you mentioned, you know, that story, because one of the things I kind of found strange is that she's a teacher of martial arts and patron of warfare.
Right.
And the brigs, or the briga, are her soldiers, and, you know, brigades of, you know, the outlaws. And so we're sitting there going, wow, that. And we talked about Kali and the thugs, or the thuggy, and we know about the Arabian assassins. So it's kind of interesting that she has that side.
Yeah. Yeah, and one of, you know, the three faces of her in one of the versions of how they've broken up those three faces is she's Bridget of the Cowless. And the Cowless would have been soldiers, because soldiers didn't have their own lands. They weren't farmers. They were soldiers, and they traveled to where battle was happening. So they were Cowless. And when battle wasn't happening, they would be, you know, they'd go and work the farm, or they'd go into town and do whatever it was that they could. But she specifically was known as a guardian of the Cowless, which relates to that battle energy again, you know, because soldiers aren't always soldiers. They have to do something else when there isn't a battle happening.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like soldiers, which again is the death side, and then you've got the healing side, which is childbirth and the healing arts and the medicinal aspects of it. So she actually holds both faces and both doorway to both of those areas, or the door between the two. Yeah.
Right. I actually find her, because I have worked with her for a long time, I find her to be more of the transformer. You know, she definitely holds the healing energy, and there's a creative aspect to her. But in all of those faces, she is helping with the transition. You know, even with the poetry, she's offering a transition from something into beauty, or from something into being thought provoked or whatever. And the midwife, clearly, you know, she holds the gateway between life and death, and that, and the myth, she's making changes. She's beating something against the forge and making it change. And so I've always found her to be the transformer, the one that, and maybe your transformation is getting the shit beaten out of you, or maybe your transformation is having your voice heard.
Right.
But she's good at all the things.
Mm-hmm.
I highly recommend her.
Yes. And, you know, it kind of, we will probably, you know, pick up some of the different, I don't want to call it symbols, but attributes of items and some things after the break. But, you know, this is a goddess that is totally, I mean, they call her the bright goddess of becoming. And you think about it, mm-hmm. isn't that what it's all, as you say, the transitions, the transformations. It's a goddess of movement, a lot of movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
There. Do we want a break? I don't know what our time is. I haven't even looked at the clock.
we're right at about break time. So let's do that real quick. We'll be back in a minute.
In a moment.
Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie, Sundays 3 to 4:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, Blue Flag Root Radio with Lady Muse, Fridays 4 to 5, and The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LeFay, Fridays 6 to 7. All times Pacific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
I feel like we're
and
back
and we're
in the time. Yes. So one of the things, and this is something that I know you're going to run with, she, you know, all the wells that are sacred to Bridget, all throughout Britain, the British Isles, and all the names that basically partake of that. So go for it. I think that's a lot to be discussed.
Yeah, I think, well, wells are sacred space, right? So, you know, there are a lot of different wells across the UK, and the what would have been considered Britain at one point, or Brittany, right? We're also talking about the coast of France. These are all places where there's evidence of worship of Bridget. There's even a town near Glastonbury called Wells, and there's so many wells and natural springs. Just thinking about, I'm sure anyone who's listening, you can imagine finding a place on the land where there is bubbling water coming out of the ground. It's not a river. It's not a lake. It's not a stream. It's a natural aquifer, and the water is safe to drink and fresh. And this would have been an amazing sacred place. And you find these all over Brittany and the British Isles and Ireland. And many of these places have had actual wells built around them. You know, that's what modern people do. We block off the areas that we want to preserve. And many of them are named after her. Many of them carry in some way, shape, or form an obvious connection to her, usually by the name, but, you know, whatever. And sometimes we'll even find places where they've been decorated for her, where they tie garlands. Still, like, this is a modern day practice. You'll find garlands tied or gifts left, or my brain is not working. Clooties, trees nearby where closets are tied for blessings. And so, you know, it's natural places in the land, just like we were saying earlier in the show, that have a connection to her.
Right. And it's interesting because obviously the you mentioned it there, it's a portal. Well, they're portals to the go to the underworld. And they talked in one of the little blurbs that I was reading, it says it fills the lower part of our astral body, and I thought, God, how sensual that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it's very
absolutely
much that. And it's, again, we have all these references to both the lower part, meaning going underneath, below, and also above. And the land mm-hmm. has the below and the above as well, the mountains as well as the underground caves and wells and things like that. So
yeah,
very, very exciting. And obviously, the shamrock, very much Irish, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, the three-leaf clover. It's, the aspect of the three bridges and, the triple aspects, as well as the fact that it's green,
Right.
But I found that, I kept thinking, well, we always talk about four-leaf clovers, and, the fours go back to, four elements, and I think becomes more of a masculine process as opposed to a feminine process.
Right. Yeah.
So, what is that? Anything else that we can attribute in terms of things that are kind of symbolic of her?
I'm sure there are. many modern pagan traditions make corn dollies or make the Bridget bed, right? And that we ask for blessings, and we put the corn dolly that we may have made back at Lammas or Lunasa goes mm-hmm. into the bride's bed on in bulk, and that's connected to Bridget. Often bringing in reeds or rushes or what have you, and making a dolly out of reeds or rushes, or making a Bridget's cross, which is more of a modern Christianized thing to do. But Bridget's crosses you see everywhere in Ireland, and I have one tattooed on my wrist. I mean, they're everywhere. I see mm-hmm. one all the time.
Yeah, go ahead, dear.
But it's making the Bridget's cross is a pretty traditional thing to also do on Imbolc as an offering
mm-hmm.
to Bridget. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know they called it. It's funny because, and I know that tattoo, I've seen it, but as far as it's the eye, it's another version of this, the sacred eye that is of, the eye of Bridget, or the protection. And going back to mm-hmm. the symbology of the anti-evil eye and all that, and I kind of feel kind of good because we've spent a lot of time, you and I, obviously, getting to know the Hoodoo tradition and working with these other areas. And, it's always talked about that particular thing is always put in terms of the hand of Fatima and, the different aspects of where it comes from. And when I read this, I'm going, yes, and the Celts have one too. So
right.
I was a little kind of tacky about the process when I was reading it, but that's okay. and I think Rowan is a tree that is, stood for magic and, the concept of the sacred to Bridget and the aspect of breaking, the evil energies, evil enchantments. So
right.
they tend to say that's the part of the tree aspect to her is that. So it's not just she gets a little clover leaf, she gets a tree.
Right. Yeah, and there are stories, more from the Christian perspective of one of the areas that was sacred to the goddess, Bridget, had oak trees
And when the Christians came, they decided to turn this exact spot into a church, of course, because that's what people do. They build the new sacred site on top of the old sacred site. During the time where this is actually true. There was a sacred site to Bridget. This isn't just a mythological story. And they did build a monastery on this site. And it continued for many years to be a place of learning where monks and scholars in Christianity were sent to this part of Ireland to study and write other culture stories down and things like
mm-hmm.
that. And one of the stories of the Saint Brigid is going to Kildare, where it's the sacred area for Brigid, and she goes and she wants to build a monastery for the women folk, a nunnery or whatever. And they're like, okay, well, you know, we can't really give you any land. And she's like, well, how about whatever, when I lay down my cloak, whatever my cloak covers, you'll give me that land. And they're like, okay, weirdo, we'll do that. You can have whatever land your little cloak lands on. And so she begins to unfold her cloak, and it just keeps going and going and going and going. And she ends up having these acres of land. And that's considered one of the miracles of St. Brigid.
Ah.
And that part of Ireland is still where it's Kildare. It's still where her flame is burning and
mm-hmm.
where people, you know, still go on pilgrimage to connect with her.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so there is, and, you know, that is also part of the magic cloak, which you kind of
mm-hmm.
think about in other more recent uses of the concept of the cloak, you know, in terms of that. But that's also, I think, why isn't that why her green cloak is why it became the Emerald Isle
yeah.
in Ireland? So.
Right, right. And it's considered good luck to, if you have a cloak, you know, because all us witches have cloaks, that you lay it out on the Imbolc Eve, and
mm-hmm.
that Brigid will bless it as she
mm-hmm.
Rides through the sky or whatever it is she's supposed to do. But Brigid will bless it on
right.
Imbolc morning. And so it's traditional to leave your cloak outside. So, you know, if you're listening to the show before Imbolc, which is just next week,
yes.
leave your cloak out in the grass and get Brigid's blessing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, there's so many different things that I think cross over and you kind of catch. I know that one of the little things they talked about was the animals that she had. Basically, there was a poem, and it was about there were three animals that were part of her, I don't even want to say totems, but they were part of her energy, and she, you know, they were like, they worked with her, and they had
mm-hmm.
the two royal oxen, and again, we're gonna totally butcher it. It's Faye and Mend, and that's
mm-hmm.
Effie, and then M-E-N-N. And the king
mm-hmm.
of boars, Trioth. And, of course, this one I love because, like, if you're going to think of cribbage, it's Crib, king of the rams. And they called them withers. And I'm like, okay, which I'm sure anyone wants to know about the football team, the Rams. They're withers. They're actually not rams. They're withers.
No, oh, well, that doesn't sound as cool.
No, it doesn't. So rather profoundly masculine. You're withers. Like, what? But it was, you know, the poems and the poetry of what she, you know, her miracles. And I don't even want to call them miracles because that tends to go to the Christian version. But there are a lot of those that have come down. And you know that though they're part of what they've talked about, St. Brigid, they're actually really the goddess Brigid. They just have,
right.
again, I'm going to cloak them in that particular way of talking.
Right. Yeah.
So she's a very intriguing. It's interesting because a very, very, very dear longtime friend, my family and myself, gave me for my birthday this year, and I found it fascinating in retrospect, a medallion of Bridget.
Mm-hmm.
And
nice.
She goes, I'm sure you have one. And I'm like looking at it going, no, actually, I don't. And then we talked about Kaliak, and I think I mentioned on that show that it may be time for me to start doing and working with Bridget. And you were talking about
right.
maybe it's time for you to work with Kaliak. It's kind of a flip side here.
Right.
So, yeah, but here we are talking about Bridget. Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
Shoot,
so,
I was just going to say something, and now I can't remember what it was.
Oh, dear.
I
took the energy right out and threw it away. I apologize.
No, I got distracted by the Kaliak.
Yeah, well, it's what were we were talking about animals. We were talking about.
Oh.
Yeah, let's see.
That might be it. Well, that's one way to start. One of the other, I mean, you mentioned the ram, but it's also the sheep and the lamb, ram and lamb.
Mm-hmm.
But,
ram and lamb.
Right. This is the time of the year when the lambs were born,
at
right. least in the British Isles, you know. And so she's also connected to lamb. And obviously when baby lambs are born, sheep start producing milk. And so she also has a connection to milk.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that all makes some logical sense. There's actually... In Glastonbury, there is the last remnants on top of the tower of St. Michael's Tower, which was once a church, but there's only a tower left. And on one of the sides of the tower is a carving in the stone of Bridget with a ewe.
Oh, wow.
With a lamb. Yeah, okay. It's pretty neat. But see, you see her everywhere. And that was on a church, right? So,
right.
she shows up everywhere.
Mhm. And that she you know, again, we've talked about this particular show. She was not eradicated. She couldn't be. So they had to keep
right.
finding, you know, ways to, you know, because nobody was going to let her get eradicated. So, you know, the church had to come up with some
right.
pretty interesting ways to do it, including stories of Saint Bridget and Saint Patrick, and you know, I mean, this is Saint Bridget actually could appoint archbishops in Kildare area. So I was kind of, you know, like they attributed that she had the right to
yeah.
do that as part of her duties. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, and I remembered what I was going to say. Yeah.
Aha.
Brain.
Okay.
She's a solar goddess, so she's connected to the sun, and we often think of goddesses as connected to the moon, but in this
right.
system, she's a solar goddess, and there are all of these different stories about the magic of the sun and sunbeams, and how she was born with a flaming head and fire, and the sunbeams hit her as soon as she was born, and when specific sunbeams hit cloaks and magical things happened. And so it's just an interesting spin as well, because she's land, sea, and sky, and related to the sun. So it's a very different energetic than you often get with goddesses who are more, you know, the sun and all of the, and all of her faces, the midwife, the healer, the poet, the blacksmith, these are all active energies. There isn't anything passive in any of these energies. And we don't often attribute all of these active energetics to female deity.
Mm-hmm.
It's often more of the male, where the female's more receptive, more passive, and more lunar. So
right.
we have a very different focus with this goddess.
Mm-hmm. Well, she definitely has, and it's interesting because they were talking, and there was one that was trying to divide things into a little bit more academic way of talking about her and saying, well, you know, there are two cultures, and they, you know, in the Isles and the Celtic set up, and they had the division of the two, and then they kind of went to her this as a deity. She is both the unity and the aspect of specialization, which in its right means that she is both the masculine and the feminine.
Right.
Which I thought you were were just saying that in a different way, and I'm like, oh, look, that's what they said, and I had written it down. How nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and a lot of a lot of things we find, I think, when the British Isles held out their gods and their goddesses, they didn't allow them to be lessened. They turned them into heroes and heroines, which I think
mm-hmm.
is fabulous. And
absolutely.
Didn't let them slide away. So, but and you were talking about the sun and the sunbeams, and it's funny because I was looking down and I was going, wow, it talks about, you know, the way the water, you know, hit the light hits the water and the energy of what they call the night sun, which I thought was an interesting
mm-hmm.
term for that particular aspect of the light and the water and those little sparklies that we see when we see water go sparkle. So, yeah. So, is there anything that we have not dallied with regards to her? Do you have anything in your notes?
I don't think so. Let me look through my notes. I mean, I think we've gone through. Oh, there's one other story. So, and this is connected. It says the goddess Brigid, but this is clearly a Saint Brigid story because it's about
uh-huh.
lepers, and lepers are very Christian.
Yes, they are, definitely.
I don't mean that to sound like how it came out, but it's funny. So, at the sacred well in Kildare. This was a center of healing, right? So these two lepers come to the center in Kildare and they ask to be healed. And she said, okay, well, the two of you need to get into the waters and bathe each other. And as you bathe each other, you will be healed. And the first one was like, okay, great, I got it. And his skin starts to heal and he's clearing up. But the second one is totally disgusted and won't touch the other leper. He's completely revulsed by it. And this makes Brigid very angry. And there are actually many stories where Brigid gets pissed off and shuts someone down. So
mm-hmm.
she says, all right, well, guess what, buddy? Since you are unwilling to help a fellow sufferer out, you're going to get to keep your leprosy. And she puts her cloak on the other leper and he's instantly healed.
Wow.
So this is a story of her saying, you don't get anything for free, and we all are in this together, you know? And if you're unwilling to help a fellow sufferer, you won't get the help yourself.
Wow. And I think that's also a very masculine reference point. You know, it's taking the authority rather than being, oh yes, we'll heal you, no problem, whatever.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, well, she's definitely, you know, got my attention. Let's just put it that way in terms of the circumstances here. And I find it, you know, rather poignant that it is, and here you're going to laugh because this is going to be, when Matt and I got married, we got married on February 2nd.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So I kind of look at this as going, wow, February 2nd. And at the time, I was joking about Groundhog Day, and that was our mascot for our marriage. And, you know, we have a little groundhog, and that was fine. But now I'm looking at it in a different way and seeing it with St. Brigid or the goddess Brigid. And I'm like, wow, there was a lot more going on than I realized just because we picked that day. And, of course,
sure.
The next day was Super Bowl. So, obviously, marriage was fine, but then it had to go to Super Bowl. It's a male point of reference of watching people run around with a little oblong bowl.
That's funny.
So, yeah, but I'm really intrigued. Now it's calling. So it's calling in a different way, which I'm going to have
mm-hmm.
to follow. Yeah.
Nice.
So, but I think we're almost at our time. And
yeah.
I actually did look up at the clock only because my grandmother clock tends to run fast because when it's hot, it changes the way the clock mechanism works. and I learned this from the guy who fixed it and cleaned it and everything. And so I'm constantly having to adjust the little pendulum and all. And it already rang, and I'm going, no, it's not our time. And so I looked up at the clock, and I went, oh, we have a few minutes. So
yeah, we're just about there.
We're just about there. So, yes, next week we are doing a rebroadcast of our Eamble show. And we do have Ask a Witch the following week on the 8th. So
right.
We do have that. And then you're going to be off and away playing at PCON.
Yes.
And we're doing a rebroadcast that Friday of the show that we actually did when we did go down there and do a
right.
show.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so if you are interested in having us talk about a subject that you're curious about, if you've got questions about witchcraft or paganism or anything related to this woo stuff we do, send us an email. And if you go to witchpriestesscauldron.com, you'll find our page where you can submit your question, and we'll talk about it in the next couple of weeks.
Truly. Truly, and
yeah.
We will have a lot of fun doing so.
Yeah.
Yes, in the sense that we always love the input and what we get, and it helps, you know, see how we can make it more involved with what we've already thrown out there and what you're looking at, and kind of move the two
Absolutely.
Together like chess games. Okay.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
All right. So, anything
all
else
right.
you want to say before our goodbyes?
Hail Bridget.
Hail Bridget. All right. Well, all take care, and we will see you alive in a couple of weeks, but enjoy our Eamble show next week.
Yes. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific and will be available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website, and that's at www.witchpriestesscauldron.com. Again, that's witchpriestesscauldron.com. On behalf of Elvira, Phoenix, Alan, and myself, Gwion Raven, a big merry meet and merry part and merry meet again. Blessed be.